Hello?
Hello.
Hi. Hi.
Hi.
So let's see whether everyone has seen the correction of the announcement. Ah, the third one calls in. Probably Ira.
Hello.
Hi, Ira.
Hi, Till. Sorry, I was answering an email from my boss.
Morning, Ira.
Morning, Glenn. And I do actually have a template made up for notes that I made up last night, so in a moment I'll have it up here.
So let's wait a little, perhaps someone else calls in and one thing which is done, I have applied for the Linux Foundation for the Google Summer of Code, so that we can have open printing, we can have Google Summer of Code students. And as far as it looks like, we have three students now who want to participate.
Okay, good.
So it's much better than the worst year, which we had already.
Yeah, it sounds much better. So I went. This will be in minutes, but I went to the Google Summer of Code 2012 site yesterday evening and pasted some stuff into minutes. All of the actual correct dates for start and end of applications, Mentor evaluate, GSOC announces accept applications, and all the way through the whole development cycle. I took right off of the GSOC calendar every single key date. But the basic idea is that student applications start on this Saturday, the 17th.
When do I have to sign? I'll look it up, but when do I have to sign up to be a mentor?
At any time, but you
At
can
any
only do
time.
it when the Linux Foundation is approved as a mentoring organization, and this only happens by the end of this week.
Okay.
Next week I can do that. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't actually show that date. The prefix date I should have shown here is mentor organizations get accepted by GSOC on the end of this week, and the next day student applications open.
And then I believe we have someone interested in JTAP, right?
I believe we do, yeah.
I mean, we've had that before, and then he quit the day he started, but that's okay.
Yeah, well, maybe we'll improve on that
Hopefully
one.
that won't happen again.
Yeah, the day after, maybe. Can slowly work our way up to success. Yeah, The other key dates are student applications end on Friday, the 6th of April, and mentors start evaluating Saturday, the 7th, and finish evaluating applications and must, you know, choose who those that they want by Friday, the 20th of April, and the following Monday, GSOC announces the accepted applications. And that's the end of that deal. And then there's a period of spin up of about a month. Students spin up, meet mentors, read documentation, get up to speed, examine existing code, so on. From Tuesday, the 24th of April, the day after the announced applications, through Sunday, the 20th of May, and the development cycle this year. Is student coding starts on Monday the 21st. Mentor midterm evaluations start Monday the 9th of July and end Friday the 13th of July. Student pencils down, no more coding, on Monday the 20th of August. Mentor final evaluations happen that week and have to be done by Friday the 24th of August. And the following Monday, the 27th of August, GSOC announces the final results for the year. And Friday of that same week, the 31st, students submit code samples.
Good.
But all of these dates I've got in the
I just have
minutes I prepared. Yeah, no, I know, but I meant so you can look back at these minutes over the next couple of months, and all those dates are there, and you don't have to go find it on the Google Calendar, which I had to decode it from 5 pages, 5 months of calendar to figure out.
Thank you.
And you don't need also to browse the Google Calendar. On this page at Google, when you scroll down, you see it also simply as a list of dates.
Yeah, it's not. It is. It, however, isn't. Entirely accurate. It doesn't list all the start-in dates. It lists some end dates.
Well, I'll find Ira's page and print it.
Yeah, I also put the link to the GSOC 2012 page in the minutes.
Okay.
So, you can pull that link anytime if there's some update. But, I mean, they're not going to move around those midterm evaluation dates because the whole, they got...
They got
infrastructure
people
that are based on, it's got to happen on those particular weeks that they got to do evaluation.
Yeah, I mean, once they make a commitment or publicize it, they got to stay with it.
Yeah, right. Well, also, they got staff that are committed to, okay, we're working overtime that week because the following Monday we got to announce whatever,
Right, right. Make your
vacation
accordingly.
So, a topic also that we had in previous preparation calls was questions and issues for the summit. I left in from the previous year's minutes no evening session with OP Japan because there was no participation in that call during OPS 2010. And so we didn't do it last year, and we haven't hardly heard from OP Japan. I'm not going to say that.
It seems that the Japanese people generally do not participate in our international meetings, both by phone and both in person.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Did someone just join?
Oh, that's a Hintech.
Ah, Hintech. Hi.
Hi. Yes. It's been a while.
Nice to
so you were talking about something about some midterm evaluation. What is it?
Google Summer of Code.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Right. We were talking about Google Summer of Code because it's imminent. It's right upon us, and we've got a series of proposals, and we actually have three interested students who all look like they might actually do work. So that would be good.
That's good. Yes. Yeah, sorry, about last year, I took on some a student to work on HFF Plus. I just eventually just did the work myself. Actually, still sitting in my hard disk trying to get tested at the moment, but it's kind of irrelevant. But, yeah.
Okay. All right, Till, let's stutter, or Ira, let's stutter.
Someone else called in. We are five.
Oh. Hi, Till.
Hintock? We are Hintock, Glenn, Ira, and me. Who else?
Maybe they're on mute.
Perhaps someone on mute. Or on a cell phone on mute. Okay, and
look,
that there will...
someone from the United States whose number starts with 615.
Don't know. We could look it up, but if it's a cell phone or a mobile phone, that won't mean anything.
Yes.
Unfortunately, one can't figure those things out anymore. Other just basic logistics... there will be a conference phone. It will be the PWG number. I already put that in next teleconference's stuff.
Yes, I've already announced appropriately.
Right. Bear in mind, Till, and I hope you got this right, the attendee access code must never be announced nor put in any email ever.
It should never appear on the internet. It should be passed to the people by phone.
Right, and that's what I put in minutes. Ask Ira if you want the code. You basically ask Ira or Mike, because we're authorized officers are the only people that can pass out that code. So people who want to call in, you know, we'll remind them closer to the day and so on with email saying, you know, if you need the code to call in tomorrow or today, you know, just send us email and we'll send it to you. However, we have to be very careful to preserve it because they have been raided and several years ago we experienced several $1,000s of spurious phony phone calls on our open bridge.
So they pay a fortune per minute for the calls, and if someone abuses the system, they lose a lot of money.
Our major budget item every year for the PWG is that conference bridge, because we use it for, you know, not just face-to-face meetings, but many weekly calls.
Yeah,
and
so
it comes through the IEEE ISTO, so we pay a decent rate, but we don't pay as good a rate as we could.
Okay, onward with the...
Okay.
I think the big issue is going to be the plenary for the open printing, right?
That's what I actually wanted to have that as a topic today. So let us have that as a topic today here.
At the meeting, right, the only day we're talking is the first day.
The only day we're talking, I'm sorry, what do you mean, Glenn? We have OP sessions throughout all 4 days. Interleaved with
color printing. Oh, only the next day.
No, all 4 days we have open OP topics. If you read the agenda.
Maybe. Okay, I'm sorry, I just didn't see. God, I'm getting old.
Mike took all the PWG sessions and intentionally interleaved them where appropriate with OP sessions so that we would flow through related topics.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
So, okay, the open printing plenary, here is the main question. Who's presenting and what are we presenting? And I presume what we are starting with is a few slides, as I have prepared in some other years, that say what projects we have worked on and say something about Google Summer of Code and, you know, projected timeline through the rest of the year for in-progress projects like Common Print Dialogue and Common Mobile Print Client.
Sounds like you're presenting. It sounds like very good stuff.
I'm making myself a note. Action IRA slides.
Yeah, so what are the subjects? Outline, agenda, outline.
Yeah.
Summarizing
OP activities in the previous year, right?
The OP... Wait a minute, one second. OP activities...
Hello, Lars. Wir haben das Open-Printing Telephone Meeting. Hallo, hörst du mich?
OP activities for 2011. Okay.
Okay, so I'm sorry. I'm also typing Glenn here. Summarize OP activities in previous year. Summarize GSOC 2012
plans.
By then, I mean, we're going to know we have students, right, and that we, in fact, have projects.
Oh, yeah, so we should call it activities. Ah.
Yeah, yeah. See, 2012 activities.
Yeah, around that time, normally, it would be the students coming in, and you need to decide who to take and what.
Actually, they will have had to apply by then. Reviewed these dates. The last student application date is 6 April. And GSOC, Monday the 23rd, the day before our meeting, will announce who got accepted based on mentor evaluations. So it's a done deal. When this conference happened, there are no new student applications, and everyone who is going to be approved has been approved.
Okay, so what else needs to go in there?
Okay, and then I was going to say,
I wish we could get more members.
Summarize. it may not be summarized, but, you know, something. OP activities in current year, parens, CPD.
Well, that's actually planned, then.
Plans for current year. Thank you.
Okay.
And that's probably even true for GSOC, Glenn, because, I mean, we have just barely gotten students and mentors nailed down, and so it's that we plan for these three projects to occur.
So I would just call it activities and plans.
Okay, activities and plans. Okay.
Put up the schedule, say we're right here, so that's why it's an activity, and still got a plan. Because we're close to having that same day we have a plan, because you're not going to have much time to redo view graphs before.
No. I mean, I'm assuming that I'm going to have long since written these draft slides. You know,
right. You don't want to update them.
Review them, and we'll update them when we get the final from that slide from, you know, GSOC says, okay, you know, you actually get these two students. We will presumably know what we think we are pursuing several weeks before then.
Okay, so you're going to put in the OP activities and the OP plans. Do we need just one slide on each activity? One slide on each activity, which is CPM, mobile CPM, CUPS.
Oh, no, actually, for CUPS, et cetera, no, we're not, because there are separate sessions.
No, this is for the plenary.
I know. But CUPS is not an activity of open printing. It's
Are CUPS related? Then call it CUPS related if you want.
CUPS filters?
Yeah, something. CUPS filters. How about that? Or we can just have, how about this, but it's called filters.
Yes, the CAPS filters is developing well. I have now
on.
They get tested by the Ubuntu development because they are
that.
Yeah, because they are part of now Lars is calling in. They are part.
We also need to talk about the color management. I'm not sure we have any slides on that.
Hey guys.
Hi
Lars.
Yeah, we're gonna. Mike's gonna talk about color management.
Okay.
From PWG, because he's actually our formal liaison from PWG to OpenICC. And to date, hi Lars, we have not heard that anybody is going to come and attend and talk about color.
Okay. Oh. Okay.
This is another one of those little problems.
Might be a long lunch. Okay.
The practical reality is, yes, it may be a long lunch.
I see. Breakfast will span the lunch. Okay.
Right. No, but practically speaking, I would suggest, Glenn, because we do not have wrap-up sessions on the fourth day. We just had too many things to do between open printing and PWP.
Yeah, right.
I would suggest that we have a couple of slides on current open printing issues, you know. What are the challenges still in front
those
of us?
Slides on issues?
Issues and challenges. We've used slightly different terminology, but, you know, ever since 2006, we've said, you know, okay, so what remains to be done or what are the problems?
We have any risk?
Yeah, right, yeah. Issues, challenges, and risks, how about?
Yes.
Risks is a good one to actually add.
Yeah, I personally see the printing world changing everywhere, so it's kind of an interesting problem.
Yeah, I see the printing world changing because I see the world changing. And recent very heavy activity in Trusted Computing Group in mobile systems, tablets, laptops, smartphones, etc., has made me realize that printer vendors are further out of touch with reality than I thought they were.
And the other reality is that nobody in those meetings is talking about Linux, Windows, Apple, nothing.
Yeah, they are.
Specifically,
Red Hat just joined Big Splash Trusted Computing Group, and the PC Client Group has to write new x86 interface specs that are OS neutral and do not lean on Windows as the only OS.
But I guess that's my point. The world's moving to an OS neutral solution for printing.
Yeah, and right. The world's moving to an OS neutral and PDL driver neutral. This is a point I keep making inside of Samsung when I get pushback when they say, we don't report document format supported. It's got some incorrectly formatted values in it. So, you know, yeah, but we got legacy Samsung applications, and I go, not in a smartphone, you don't. No, you don't,
yeah.
And you're never going to have a Samsung print driver either in that smartphone.
We get when the print vendors no longer have the Macintosh team, the Windows team, and the Linux team, we'll have made. So anyway, that's an important point. As far as risk, that's more of a challenge, right?
Yeah, it is more of a challenge because it means that.
I'm gonna put in.
I mean, it's yeah, right. My cell phone is beeping. Oh, never mind. My cell phone is telling me. Yes, you have new minutes. Good. Okay.
OS neutral printing. Oh, I like that.
Yeah, OS neutral.
Not even the word cloud. I love it.
Cloud is actually is badly overused and not more progressively more relevant, but progressively more irrelevant because the really major global service providers that offer shared infrastructure support. Cloud is just the word that their marketers use. Their stuff
right,
is
right.
not cloud-based. Not if it's reliable. Not if it's got failover. Those are the exact things that don't happen in generic cloud computing. Security, failover, reliability, backup, they're all not there. And they're not getting there anytime soon in generic cloud computing.
Well, OS neutral printing is better than cloud printing, and there's no such thing as driverless printing. It's just moved the driver someplace else. So from the user's point of view, it might be driverless, but not from the real world.
No, it's not driverless. It is, as we have corrected the specs of IPP everywhere and the charter to say, it is generic drivers, one per PDL, not one per vendor printer model, because on many operating systems and many platforms, that OS will simply refuse to and block the attempt to install a vendor-specific PDL driver.
Yeah, so we need to look at that as if there's an impact to what we need to do in the future, Linux specifically.
I think I'm... Glenn, because it's sort of the other face of this same coin, I'm going to put the rise of job ticket-based printing. That is what used to go into some vendor-specific driver goes into a job ticket which accompanies the document data and the actual job submission.
Okay, so I know that PWG members don't like it, but is it a print job ticket or is it a print job?
No, it's a print job ticket. The print job is created by the receiver based on a print job creation request. Clients never create print jobs. They request the creation of print jobs. And the terminology has to be kept straight because the distinction is until you have authenticated yourself to a receiver, whether it's a printer or a spooler, with a request to create a print job, there is no print job. There may be a UI in the client, but there is no print job until it's accepted.
Okay.
You know, we can mess around with these more and for heaven's sake send topics. But yeah, so I mean, it seems to me there's rather a richer than usual set of problems.
Yeah, I'm just not sure how it impacts going forward, these new things.
No, I think that's the point, is to bring these things up in the plenary, and then in the course of our various sessions, when we're touching on, you know, CUPS futures, when we're touching on, you know, IPP everywhere and IPP multifunction, the other services added after everywhere, you know, we need to talk about, you know, that some of the challenges and risks, like the utter lack of security and integrity in current cloud computing offerings.
The challenge being for Linux, though, is how the printing infrastructure has to change.
Yeah, and that's why Mike put in the agenda, he put where are we going
Linux.
With CUPS rather early in the 4 days. Because he wants to have a lively discussion about, you know, where do we, Apple, think CUPS is going, and therefore, what am I, Mike, going to get, you know, time allocated to work on is features and cups. And, you know, Mike has frequently said in the last couple of years, you know, vendor driver-based printing is going away. And the whole model of high computing power at the client is going away because embedded systems and mobile systems don't have the horsepower. So they're not going to do the work on the client. It's up to spoolers and printers to do the work.
Okay. So I'm starting to prepare my slides for my session.
Good.
I would like a side note here. Can I send you and Peter a mail note so I can discuss this job ticket versus print job? I need to be.
Yeah, I mean, even in Google right now, Glenn, and in HP's offering, there's no language at all about the client builds the print job. The client builds a print job ticket and requests the creation of a print job, and that's what they
do. It offline. It may my problem may just be semantics on my part.
Well, I mean, we all. Everyone who prints thinks informally, yes, I just created this print job when I hit send on this UI, but practically speaking, you didn't create it. You just asked for it to be created. You hope it works, right? It could get rejected. It could actually fail, in which case you don't get back a job ID. No job is created.
Okay, since we're discussing it here, my concept is the print client will create the ticket, which I think everybody agrees to.
Yep.
It then assigns a reference for the content and sends that to a print service. The print service then will either reject or accept the print job.
And if it accepts it, it'll create a job ID or job UUID or both to identify the job on the print service or globally. Right?
Okay, so the my model is okay. It's just,
yeah.
Okay, fine. Go ahead then.
Yeah, your model is just fine.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so besides the OP plenary topic, I suppose we could look at some more of this agenda here. I will have to say I have an absolute hard stop at the hour because I have another call an hour later and I have to do a bunch of preparation for it.
So, Lars, you said you were going to have things ready. When can you send? Is that still true?
Things ready? Sorry, I didn't follow.
Oh, you were going to make some slides?
About common print dialogue?
Oh, yeah, I can do that.
Okay.
So but I won't be there physically.
No,
right.
But I mean, you can. We hope, call in, albeit it'll be at night, I know.
But most important, when can you give them to us so we can look at them, and if we have any questions, we can get back to you.
Right, it would be really good if we all were trying to prepare slides, at least draft slides, a long time before this meeting, because some of us, like Glenn and I, have to also prepare slides and documents for a bunch of PWG topics in the same meeting. So it's going to be very crazy in the week or two before.
Yes, and what we like to do is to post all the slides already before, at least before the day when they get presented.
Yeah.
So that if someone calls in, he can look into the slides.
Yeah, till you can
see the slides while he's hearing someone talking. And also, when someone should talk on the summit, but he's not able to come, he can also give the talk by the phone.
Right.
But that sometimes someone's awkward, and so I don't know if Lars wants to do that, that's fine. But if you can have your charts at least 99% or 95% done by April 11th, which is our final
planning call
meeting, then we can discuss them with you and review them.
Yeah, right. We can at least ask, you know.
Is that okay?
Why is topic?
Yeah, sure. I can probably have them next week.
Okay, that
would be great.
Do you want to present or do you want somebody else to present for you that is there?
Well, I can do it. The thing is, I don't know if there's that much to tell, actually, because not much has happened in the last half year or so.
There will be, throughout all 4 days, WebEx sessions that run on all operating systems and browsers, pretty much, live, provided by PWG. And let me say about slides, they'll either be permanently archived right on the FTP site of the PWG, or they'll be cross-linked from the agenda, because as a matter of course, Mike puts live links to all the presentation materials in the agenda. So if you bring up the agenda page from the PWG, the common agenda for the live meeting, it'll show you, here's the live meeting link, and here's the link to the slides for this session. And, so it's fine if the OP topics are archived by TIL on, Linux Foundation site, but my point is Mike will put that live link right in the agenda anyway, so that anyone looking, since we constantly flow back and forth between open printing and PWG sessions, can, find the content right away, and if the content was updated half an hour ago, it'll be updated on the agenda.
Okay, so Lars, if you're going to present, then there's less of an issue. Sometimes people who don't physically attend don't want to present, so it's okay.
Well, yeah, the tricky part is sometimes when person A has made slides and not attended, and person B, who was dialing in, was trying to present those slides, it gets tricky if there's missing topics.
So I retract my need if you're going to present. Okay, so... you're working on your, or will work on yours. I have mine. Mike will work on his, we know. Till's going to put some stuff in.
Right. So on printing and color management, that's both an open printing and PWG topic. And it's a good question, who's going to do that? And I was kind of hoping that Tim from Red Hat or someone who knew what they were talking about could take that on. Till, we need to find a major presenter besides Mike Sweet for printing and color management topic.
Yes, yes. Perhaps Michael Vrede from GoScript also.
Yeah, that actually would be a really good place to bring in GoScript participation.
Even if
GoScript is doing well on color management, they are continuously adding features for color management. And I'm already using generally GoScript as print renderer, as PDF renderer.
And we have 3 hours.
Ubuntu, as it is the better solution for the color management.
And we have recently
another developer of GoScript, Chris Liddell, who is more into PostScript. I've got him to directly work together with owners of Brother and Kyocera printers so that we get a workaround, because the PostScript generated by GoScript does not work on these two brands, Brother and Kyocera, making the Kyocera printer simply crash and the Brother printers abort the job and spit out the current page.
Oh, dear.
And they have done great work finding workarounds which are simply little PostScript code pieces which the PDF 2PS filter, part of the CUPS filters package, inserts after GoScript generates the PostScript. And with this, these brands of printers work again. And so we have the nicely color-managed GoScript for PDF to PostScript conversion and do not need to resort to Poplar.
So
don't want to present, maybe they can provide information slides for us. Most of those people
Till, have you already reached out by specific email, probably to GoScript people, to Michael and others?
No, I must look into this to ask them for at least slides. And best to participate in person, but if not, at least slides.
Right. So we need to do that right away, Tobin, in case they not want to present, then the rest of us have to either figure out
what it
says.
Yeah.
What it means and what it says in case I'm going to ask a question or something. Color management can be a little tricky on a bad day.
Yes, it would be bad if the meeting would be completely without expertise on color management.
Right. No color. That would be interesting.
Well, yeah, it would be.
All right. What else?
We do not want to go back to black and white printing.
So who's going to present the section on futures on Linux?
That's what I was just getting to.
In the cloud.
A future of Linux in the cloud. So we had this topic. This was, by the way, one of our topics that Mike integrated into the joint agenda. So we stuck it right after the cloud imaging working group in the morning in PWG. And my question was, who wishes to present on that? Because I'm not real sure I have much to say about it.
Yeah, to me, the cloud has nothing, it's an OS neutral printing. It has nothing to do with it, with the OS.
Well,
there might be
is partially a Linux Foundation marketing topic, if you read the newsletter every month.
Linux in the cloud, but we're talking about Linux printing in the cloud, not Linux.
Well, are we? I think we are.
Oh.
About what we have on a Linux desktop machine, for example, or a Linux print server, for example, that it can receive jobs which the user sent into the cloud from another device, for example, from a mobile device, and also that from the desktop a job cannot be only sent in a usual print queue, but also into the cloud. And so print queue accessible through the cloud can also be used by the desktop machine.
Yes, I believe it's future of Linux printing in the cloud, because I don't think we even want to talk about the wider implications.
No.
well, not in open printing. You know, remember
a
Linux Collaboration Summit will have happened a couple of weeks before, and we may be able to get, you know, Jeff from, you know, LSB or someone else to join us by phone anyway, and, you know, in this topic or if nowhere else, you know, talk about, you know, where the LSB is going and how that interacts with the cloud, what the official story is from Linux Foundation from a couple of weeks before.
So should a discussion, or is there a place in here where we need to discuss?
One minute. I'm back.
Is there a place where we need to discuss printing in LSB 5.0?
Yeah, open printing plenary, I'd say.
Yeah, I mean, LSB, there's a webpage. I attend the LSB meetings, which happened an hour ago. They had a website with LSB 5.0 things that we could add maybe if we need.
So I'm adding it as a topic, but it's not going to be me that writes the slides.
I don't know if there's
anything to talk
about. I don't even know if there's anything to talk about yet. I'm working on Sane integration with for LSB 5, but I have no print request yet from anybody. So what do you know about LSB 5?
Okay, so I have added to the plenary Linux printing in LSB 5.0, Jeff as presenter, ?
Till, have you made any proposals for LSB 5.0 in printing?
No new proposals.
Put a question mark after that subject. Ira.
I'll put a question mark after both the subject and Jeff as presented.
Okay. So.
But yeah.
Till had a little comment there he made on Linux print relative to the cloud. Can you put that in a quickie slide, Till, and send that to us so we can see what it says? And what else can we say?
I could do so. Put up a little bit what we should expect in a Linux system, how it should interact with cloud printing.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Maybe before the next meeting so we can discuss it so we know if there's more we want to or not want to discuss about it as print relative to the cloud?
Yes, we can. Yes, we can then decide.
Okay, great.
So, let's see.
Where does any...
Where does any...
I believe, shoot me now, that printing relative to the cloud involves print job tickets. Well, I won't say print jobs. Print job tickets.
Yeah.
So one of the futures of that is that we want to have as the core of any print job solution the PWG print job ticket.
Yes, and the use and the presence wherever possible of the JTAPI library so that when you have to ingest a PWG print job ticket and because you're a gateway and you have to excrete or export, an XPS or a JDF or a classic Adobe, ASCII job ticket, that you have a back end to do this and you're not everybody invents how to do the conversion all over again and we get all the compatibility issues.
Well, one of the things I'm trying to propose even internally to my place is to use PWG job ticket as the core. You cannot realistically believe, just like from the printer bib, that no one's going to add extensions. Okay? But we always wanted the solution to of the PWG job ticket to be for a vendor extension or anybody else's extension to be an add.
Not an instead of.
Or change.
Or take an existing property and with the same name give it, different semantics. That would be horrible.
So that could be something that could be discussed here as just a place to start discussing it.
Yeah, well, of course, the morning PWG Cloud Imaging Working Group session is going to talk entirely about job tickets and mapping of job tickets and the cloud print reference model that is, with the new operations for registration, for fetch jobs, for query available jobs, and so on. That is going to be the working topic of the morning there. So we're going
to
have this background infrastructure, which is OS neutral.
Right. So I see that as a foundation. But, people are just not going to not add things to a print job ticket with their own extension.
Oh, no, that's my whole point. The print job ticket, in some ways, is the escape for the withering of vendor-specific drivers, right?
If I'm going to do federation... Federated jobs.
Yeah.
Yes. You may send me an Epson job ticket, okay? But the core of that is still a PWG job ticket. And if I send it to another federated thing, it won't understand an Epson job ticket because I have extensions that it doesn't understand. But I can send the core, which is the PWG job ticket.
Well, I can even send the whole thing, right?
Oh, yeah, you ignore the
extension. My point is the classic rule of if it's a well-formed property, it must be preserved. This goes right along with the document content. The first cloud service must not do an intermediate transform on, but must actually take in original form and pass it to the federated
right.
one and
right.
say, okay, federated one, either do late transform or preferably do no transform and send it out to the printer manager, to the final print service, and let him do the transform, because then if we do it only once, we don't get all this spaghetti.
So you don't like print and pray, okay.
I think we've all lived with it long enough.
Okay, so I'm just trying to think of things we can discuss. So I like this core idea of the PWG job ticket. I mean, I've reviewed it in gory details.
Yeah, as you have.
So, so I'm pretty happy with its scope and capabilities all the way from embedded to production. So... And we can get from that to IPP.
Right. On account of it being directly derived from IPP properties and having normative statements that say the semantics of this property are as described in the IETF or PWG IPP spec.
I mean, the communication from a print service to its actual printer could be anything. I don't care what it is. It doesn't really matter. It could be IPP. It could be my own thing. But as long as we get the print job ticket in formats the print service accepts,
yeah,
then we're okay.
Well, and as Justin Hutchings has been championing, I think, correctly, in Microsoft contribution, the whole, you know, longer-term idea is that what you could submit is a structured open packaging convention zip file that has the job ticket and the job data and the job log, you know, the job receipt, the result of processing the job ticket, and so on, as structured files within it, such that now I actually could use LPR or port 9100. Admittedly, I don't get back status if I did port 9100, right, but without querying by some different protocol. But I don't lose the fidelity anymore of the freestanding job ticket because it got bound in a single object that was transferred by the...
And I call that the
print protocol. I'm sorry, what?
And I call that the print job.
And I agree with you. It is, you know, once we package it up in an OPC with the data and everything, that's a print job, obviously. Now... Did it get accepted, you know, by each step later on? That's another topic. But I agree. That's the distinction I would make, Glenn, is that neither the ticket nor the data are the job. But if I bind the ticket and the data in an OPC zip file together with a manifest, and I can later add a member to that manifest that's job receipt, which has the semantics of job ticket with the actuals, that's a job, and it's also a thing I can stick in job history and a thing that I can resubmit because I got all the content to resubmit it.
Well, yeah, it's great for federated processing. It makes the client simple, makes the print service coherent. I mean, it makes things a lot easier than that.
Well, and the other thing is that Justin wanted to do it so that direct print interfaces that have not yet caught up with the yet-to-be-finished IPP over USB can still do rich printing. You can still send the job ticket because you got this wrapper, and what you actually send is a MIME type that's the wrapper. You don't send just the document data, but that works, you know, if you send well-formed.
And users don't care. They just want to print.
Right. The users don't care, but my point is this, and Justin's point was, for all the legacy gateways for existing
XP
systems, Windows 2000 systems, older Linux systems, older Macs, whatever, this gets you the same behavior as network, the same functionality as network printing to a direct connect printer.
Right. Just a simple binding. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, we've gone off on a tangent far enough.
Yeah, and we have also just about reached the hour, my friends. So we are meeting again in 2 weeks and again in 2 weeks. And so, Lars, if you can put together any partial state of slides about Common Print Dialogue before 2 weeks from now, then we could look at them then and comment and not have all of our content to look at on the last possible call.
Yeah, I'll do that. No problem.
So the same sort of occurs for all of us, Glenn and Ira and Till. If we have slides to prepare, even if they're not complete, having some drafts for 2 weeks from now would help us to iterate this. Oh, there's a topic we didn't even mention here. We're going to need a slide or a bullet for that kind of thing. Instead of on the last planning call, which is supposed to be resolving logistics issues, we're still processing content.
Right. Okay.
All right.
Sounds good.
Good. We will speak again in 2 weeks. I will get minutes out. Till, remember, you have a naming convention for the MP3 recordings, OP Summit -2012-prep.
Yes, the first one I have already uploaded under this naming convention.
Okay, so I already assumed that was the case. Is this the first preparatory call in your...
Yes, this one is now the second. The first.
Okay, the first was our previous meeting last week.
It was coincided with a monthly call, and
okay.
I set a symbolic link so that it appears under both naming conventions.
Okay, so that last week's call was Prep 1.
Yes.
Okay, I have just fixed the link in the minutes up accordingly, but I won't post them until I make sure that we didn't have a spelling error one way or the other in the link, and I'll post it. Okay, it will be a little later today before I...
One other thing, will there be also recordings of the printing summit itself?
No, and it is actually against IEEE bylaws to record teleconferences.
Yes.
So, no, there won't be. And the only possible way to do so would be to cross-dial the other bridge, which I don't think is a very good idea. It's liable to break.
No. Let's just not record.
I would say, no, there's not a recording.
Yes, only to know.
Okay.
Individuals are free to record, but my point is IEEE bylaws say you can't post publicly a recording. And I think it has to do partly with correcting of, errors in minutes where an intellectual property topic that was inappropriate was discussed, and they just don't want the discussion to even be archived there.
All righty, gentlemen.
Okay. Thanks, everyone, for calling in. Hintech, nice to hear from you. Hintech, are you planning on traveling to the conference?
No, well, I'm just going to call in from time to time. So
okay.
Circumstances.
All right. Good. Unfortunately,
okay.
It is again on the West Coast. So for everyone anywhere in Europe, it's late or later. nine or eight hours apart at least.
1 minute.
So.
Okay, I gotta go. Bye.
All right. Okay. Talk to you all later. Bye.
Bye.